personal transformation involved when someone becomes a boss. I've written case studies about new managers in a variety of functions and industries, and have designed and led new manager leadership programs for companies and not-for-profit organizations. As firms have become leaner and more dynamic, with different units working together to offer integrated products and services, and with companies working with suppliers, customers, and competitors in an array of strategic alliances, new managers have described a transition that gets harder all the time. Let me emphasize that the struggles these new managers face represent the norm, not the exception. These aren't impaired managers operating in dysfunctional organizations. They're ordinary people facing ordinary adjustment problems. The vast majority of them survive the transition and learn to function in their new role. But imagine how much more effective they would be if the transition were less traumatic. To help new managers pass this first leadership test, we need to help them understand the essential nature of their role, what it truly means to be in charge. Most see themselves as managers and leaders. They use the rhetoric of leadership. They certainly feel the burdens of leadership, but they just don't get it. Idea in brief. Ask new managers about their early days as bosses, and you'll hear tales of disorientation, even despair. As Hill points out, most novice bosses don't realize how sharply management differs from individual work. Hampered by misconceptions, they fail the trials involved in this rite of passage. And when they stumble, they jeopardize their careers and inflict staggering costs on their organizations. How to avoid this scenario? Beware of common misconceptions about management. For example, subordinates don't necessarily obey your orders, despite your formal authority over them. You won't have more freedom to make things happen. Instead, you'll feel constrained by organizational interdependencies. And you're responsible not only for maintaining your own operations, but also for initiating positive changes both inside and outside of your areas of responsibility. Armed with realistic expectations, you'll be more likely to survive the transition to management and generate valuable results for your organization. Idea in practice. To succeed as a new manager, Hill suggests replacing myths with realities. Myth: managers wield significant authority and freedom to make things happen. Reality: you are enmeshed in a web of relationships with people who make relentless and conflicting demands on you. To manage effectively, build relationships with people outside your group that your team depends on to do its work. Example: a U.S. media company manager charged with setting up a new venture in Asia initiated regular meetings on regional strategy between executives from both businesses. Myth: managers' power derives from their formal position in the company. Reality: your power comes from your ability to establish credibility with employees, peers, and superiors. To manage effectively, demonstrate character, intending to do the right thing, managerial competence, listening more than talking, and influence, getting others to do the right thing. Example: an investment bank manager won employees' respect by shifting from showing off his technical competence to asking them about their knowledge and ideas. Myth: managers must control their direct reports. Reality: control doesn't equal commitment, and employees don't necessarily always follow orders. To manage effectively, build commitment by empowering employees to achieve the team's goals, not ordering them. Example: instead of demanding that people do things her way, a media manager insisted on clarity about team goals and accountability for agreed-upon objectives. Myth: managers lead their team by building relationships with individual members of the team. Reality: actions directed at one subordinate often negatively affect your other employees' morale or performance. To manage effectively, pay attention to your